This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We got one of our favorites back on the show. Kevin Sorbo is here. How are you, Kevin? Good to see you, buddy.
Doing well. We're in a big move right now. We just bought a house out here in Florida, and we're moving everything in from our other house from California that we left 2 years ago. We've been renting out here for 2 years, and we found a spot, and we love where we're at.
Now, when you move to Florida, do you just get alligators? Do they give them to you when you get there?
Or? Yeah, how does that work?
We got them in the backyard right now.
Nice. You get like a complimentary alligator and 2 years of free no property tax, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, there's no state tax there. Property tax is a little up there.
It's not as bad as Texas, though, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not as bad as Texas is, but I think that's where they get you. You know, if you go to a state tax-free, they're going to get you one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind not paying 13.5%, and California's going to 16.9% now.
Is it really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, last time you were here, we were chatting about the mass exodus from California, and you had called me a couple years ago because I'd already made the move. I saw what was going to happen, and you were like, hey, man, is it really? And I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. Just go. And the way the film industry is heading, especially for somebody like you, where it's like, dude, everybody knows who you are. You get calls to do movies and books and all that stuff. So you're fine, and you can do it wherever you want now.
Well, you know, the reality is we've been looking to move for well over 5 years now. Mm-hmm. It was just weird that it took us that long to sort of get the punch going. We've been out of the state for over 2 years now, but, you know, I've shot over 64 movies since my Andromeda series finished in 2005. And I would say like 85% of those were in Dallas, Texas, or further east, you know, Alabama, North, South Carolina, Florida, Louisiana, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I look at my wife and I said, what are we doing hanging out here? There's no reason for us. Deal with the traffic, the taxes, the crazy politics. I said, let's move. And she wanted to move here anyway. We were looking at Dallas. We were looking at Nashville, but we settled out here to the side of West Palm Beach.
Nice. Yeah, we're all here in Austin, Texas, which...
It's nice.
Look, we live... I live outside the city. Before, I know what the laughter's for. Before...
before... You're your own little miniature California.
I know. And we tell the audience all the time, this state will be blue in like 6 years. Austin is already...
Everybody said that 12 years ago. Actually, longer than that. It was in the 2004 election when Bush v. Kerry... And everybody was like, oh, it's a purple state. It's going to be blue soon. No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, I know. Well, it's not.
The problem with that is you got all these people in California that vote the way they vote. Mm-hmm. And then they start living under the way they vote and go, this sucks. They moved to Georgia, Nevada. They moved to Nashville. They moved to Texas. They moved to Arizona. And look what they're doing in those states. So you guys almost, that Bezos, whatever the heck his name is, almost be Cruz. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Beto. Yeah.
Yeah, his real name is Robert.
Beto, that's it.
His real name is Robert. He's a white man that goes by an Hispanic nickname.
Yeah,
To relate, because he came up in El Paso politics. Apparently, his au pair, his rich ass family's au pair was Latina, and she called him Beto when he was a child. So he just like had his name legally changed. That I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why would a fucking goofy, goobery white man change his name to Beto? Why do you think that would be?
Unless
running for politics in Texas.
You're pandering.
What a
capitalist guilt. That's what he's got. Capitalist guilt.
Oh yeah, it must be. I mean, he didn't give up any of his money though, so you know what I mean? None of these people ever do that feel so bad about capitalism. They never surrender any of their wealth at all. They just like complain about everybody else. You know what I mean?
All the time,
like,
man.
Millionaires complaining about billionaires. I'm like, all right, cool, dude. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's like, dude, when I reach the, we always call it fuck you money on the show, Kevin. When I reach the fuck you money status, I'm just going to tell everybody how rich I am. That way I don't have to deal with everything else that goes on. And then it's like, oh, hey, I'm not a, you know, that guy.
It's interesting because all these people that complain the most about capitalism or whatever, The ones that are really wealthy, they can afford to be socialists because they don't live that lifestyle. Let's face it. They live a capitalist lifestyle. Hollywood is a capitalist building. You don't think Universal and Paramount want to make money? Of course they do. Disney, they're in it to just give their money away? No, of course they don't. It's a business. That's what made America great. It was individual. It wasn't big government.
Yeah, they're gonna make it. They're actually making a huge mistake right now because of all the control that China has over the production companies and the theaters and all that stuff right now. The more woke and out of touch these dum-dums get with the movies they create, the less they're going to do in the box office. You can't sell shit like that in China. They don't understand.
Right.
Like, they understand that the Uyghurs are getting genocided by the Chinese government, right?
Yeah.
But you can't play that there because China would never allow it. All they want are action movies. That's it.
Yep.
They want action movies, preferably with a famous American actor, white or otherwise. Preferably white, probably, because that's what sells over there.
Yeah.
They want a white A-list actor to do a film set in Asia somewhere. That's what they want. An action film. That's all. They want Brad Pitt to fight King Kong and shit.
That's it.
For real. It is what it is. I mean, it's capitalism ultimately. And they're not adjusting very well to it. I don't know what they think is going to happen. They're going to siphon off this small majority, 15-20% of the woke community in America, and that's just going to be their audience. They're going reverse. So it used to be where in Hollywood, if you were not progressive but classically liberal, people, by and large, would like you as long as you weren't an asshole, right?
Right.
And then there were some fringe people on either side that had their small little audiences, almost like the far-right people that have their small little audiences in social media and things like that, or on television. And now it's flip-flopping. Like, people just want to be they're tired of being talked to like they're children. They really are. It's, like, so demeaning and irritating to be spoken to like that. Like, oh, did you know about this? Shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Can I eat my hamburger?
I know. Please? Even in last night's Super Bowl, you know, I'm sure you watched the game. How many woke commercials were there last night during that thing?
It just got so ridiculous. I said, you know, isn't it wonderful now that in sports it all has to be political as well? I mean, you look what LeBron James has done. I mean, I think a number of people, including myself, don't watch the NBA anymore. It gets ridiculous. Mm. Not, you know, I always like to post for fun, say we need more diversity in the NBA and NFL. 80% black. And then people attack me going, you want the best athletes. I go, that's my point, you idiots.
Yeah.
If I have a business, I'm for hiring. I don't care what sex they are or what color they are. If they're the best for the job, that's why I want to hire.
Right, exactly.
You get attacked for that kind of stuff, but the sports is a perfect place to look for it because you want the best athletes. And let's face it, the black population as a whole are better athletes than the white population. And it shows in track, basketball, football. And you know, I mean, there was an old joke. I remember when Tiger Woods first came out, what do you call 149 white men chasing one black guy? The PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Tiger just dominated it. I mean, I'm a fan. I mean, I appreciate people being great at what they do.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, we're by and large giving ourselves a worse and worse experience in life by not admitting some very simple truths.
Yeah.
That's very stupid to do, isn't it? It's like just being an American right now and complaining about America is, you look, there's plenty of stuff that we can work on and fix. Absolutely. And we should be doing that. But to this idea that we need to tear down the patriarchy and defund police and get rid of capital, like, come on, man, really? You live in the best time in human history and the best country in human history. You know what I mean? By best, I mean wealthy, access to water, food, medicine, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's safe and it's socially progressive in a good way. Like, it gets out of hand sometimes, but we do think about other people a lot here. Like, people get trapped in their day-to-day life a lot, and I understand how that happens. It happens to everybody. But very frequently, America looks inward on itself and asks the question, are we doing this right or not?
Right.
And then we have a big national discussion about it, and then we change things as necessary. That's happened quite a few times. We haven't made nearly enough progress. Politicians have taken it upon themselves to steal that plight, to co-opt it for their own, like, personal gain and power and shit like that. But that process is still there. It happens here. This is the best place to live. and we complain about it constantly.
Yeah, and you know, even last night, like, you know, speaking of complaining and everything, and during the commercials and all that stuff, like with Springsteen and all those guys, like, you know, that was the backlash last night with Jeep. Now, you know, America can heal again because their guys won. My comment online was like, where was this in 2016? Because we, you know, before Trump got elected, we had riots that year and you know, Ferguson and all everything else. Nobody was calling for healing and unity in 2016, but now they are now. When you were watching this last night as a fan, because I know you're a gigantic sports fan, like, at what point are you just like, man, can we just get back to the game? And, you know, the commercials used to be fun.
I know. I just put it on mute. I got tired of listening to it. I said, this is ridiculous. They constantly beat this down on us and just tell us how bad we are and tell us how we got to do this kumbaya thing and all get together. We're all getting together. You guys mentioned it already. You know, this is a country that gives so much to people, to help other people. We're a very giving country. We don't see people, you know, nobody's taking boats from Key West to Cuba. There's a reason for that. Nobody's running the Mexican border to get into Mexico. You know, not to bash Mexico. I've been there many, many times, but obviously they have their problems. Otherwise, we wouldn't have so many Mexicans rushing the border to get to America. And you know, it just drove me crazy. I just muted it. I said, I just want to watch football. That's all I want to watch.
Yeah.
Even before that, the stuff they had to go on about and on about and on about and saying we still haven't come far enough. You know, I'm going, man. You know, it's just, what do we got to do? I got to feel guilty because I was born white. I'm the fourth of five kids. My dad was a school teacher. All I remember is my dad biting his fingernails at the end of every month trying to figure out where the last $3 go. You know, I started a paper out when I was 9 years old. We didn't have money. My clothes were hand-me-downs to my older brother. So, but one thing I had in my family were parents that were believers in God, believers in hard work, and believers that, you know, you don't wait for handouts. I'm 9 years old for 7 years. I do a paper out in Minnesota. Saturday, getting up at 4:30 in the morning and 30 below wind chill weather, what they have there right now, and I'd be out there doing that stuff because my dad taught me hard work. Because you appreciate when you get stuff. When I bought my first car with my own money, I'll tell you, you take care of it, you know. And we just lost that in this country.
Well, that's
just
the thing. It's I say it all the time.
Yeah,
I say it all the time. The only color that matters in this country is green. Economic equality is the most important thing that we could ever do for any struggling. I mean, Christopher Hitchens said this 20 years ago, maybe 30, I don't remember how long ago it was, 25, that the only thing that will bring a struggling second world or third world country into the first world is the economic empowerment of women. Because you cannot hamstring 51% of your population and expect everybody to succeed. So things are only just if it's just for every single person in this country. Like, everybody has to have the same shot. Right now, they don't, frankly. Black people don't have the same shot in a lot of ways because you actually explain it a lot. This crime bill bullshit that put 3 million black men in jail, I would say a great deal of them had children, right?
Yep.
That didn't fucking know them.
Yep.
Or they grew up in a culture that that's just how it is. So you do what you got to do to get by, you might go to jail, right? That's unacceptable for us to have allowed that to happen. And it's on everybody that it happened. It's on their community for not stepping up. It's on us for not fucking admitting the problem and fixing it. And it's mostly on Democrats, frankly, for keeping a little carrot out in front of them that looks like upward mobility, but it's not for 40 fucking years, right? Somebody's got to pay a price for this at some point. It's not going to be Joe Biden, apparently, because he's a goddamn president now.
Yes. You know what I mean? Speaking of which,
he got elected after all that. He got elected. That's... it's incredible to me.
Speaking of which, you know, the last time you were on was right before the election. What were your thoughts of Biden getting in? Were you shocked or not?
I was shocked. But I mean, you know, I don't have all the answers to this. I mean, it certainly looks like there's something interesting going on with the voting process, that all these swing states shut down at the right time in the same time. And all of a sudden, all these votes came in, every single one of them for Biden. Do I think there was some voter fraud? I think this voter fraud has been around for 50, 60 years. Mm. I mean, I remember growing up and studying history that there was voter fraud when Kennedy beat Nixon back in 1960. That was like the close, I think there was only, 600 votes? I mean, it was such a small percentage of votes that separated the two. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just looking at what I'm reading. But for a guy like that, who never came out of his basement, and anytime he did, there was only six people who showed up, to get 15 million more votes than Obama got. Obama was a rock star, like Trump was a rock star. Those guys would go out, 20,000, 30,000 people would show up. And I just keep, in my mind, I keep thinking, Joe, just don't talk. Stay in your basement. We got this covered, you know? So, and you look at his running mate, Harris. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff about her through the decades being up in California.
Yep.
And you kind of go, okay, here's a woman that ran in the Democratic primary. She was one of, I don't know, they had 15 people when it started out. She was the first to go.
Yeah.
96% of Democrats didn't want her as president. And yet he picks her as his running mate. So I was kind of surprised with that choice. But, you know, we have what we have right now, and we can just hope for the best. But it's crazy time right now in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it was, for me, you know, I refuse to entertain, like, the voter fraud and all that other stuff, just because it just seems, I don't know, kind of implausible. We didn't really get a lot of evidence on it. The only thing that kind of opened up my eyes to it was this, truthfully, this Robin Hood thing that was going on with GameStop and AMC, where if it was that easy to just shut off the stock market, would it be that easy with voting and everything else? And then I was like, maybe. But, you know, this is one of those things where I don't think we'll ever have answers.
Well, I'll tell you
until
this.
A documentary comes out in like 20 or 30 years,
I'll tell
or
you
something
this.
Like that.
Since from the time I joined the Army in 2005, my personally identifiable information, and in one instance, including my DNA and fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
have been stolen through computer security issues from the government, from the U.S. Army, and then from the VA VA, and then from Homeland Security.
How many times?
3 times. All of my shit's been stolen. The second time it was the DOD, and it included like all my records, which is like my SF-86, which is the paperwork you fill out for your security clearance. Mm-hmm. Every piece of information about my entire life ever, right? Including my fingerprints and my DNA.
Do they give you an answer of like who did this or here's what we think?
No, they just, little pat on the back.
Yep.
And sorry, you get a letter, like a single page letter in the mail. Like, hey, we just want to let you know. And then by the way, if you need identity security, you can go to this website and use this link for a free year. Like, oh, thanks, guy.
Oh, hey. Hey,
so I don't know if it was like one of those companies that mm-hmm. hacked the government and then it's like a pyramid scheme or some shit like that. I don't know. But no, I didn't get anything from them except for fucked. So if I ever get charged with murder, I'm going to subpoena the Chinese government.
You should. Yeah.
They've got my DNA and my fingerprints. So fuck them.
Right? Exactly. Speaking of documentaries, you're working on one right now. Tell everybody the name of it.
It's called Against the Tide. It's very interesting. You brought up Hitchens' name.
Yep.
Famous atheist. John Lennox, he's an apologist. I did a documentary on his life, spent 3 weeks in Oxford, England, where he's from. He's a retired math professor at Oxford University. We shot 3 weeks there, 2 weeks in Israel. And it was all about, it's called Against the Tide, Proving God in a World of Science. And it was pretty fascinating. I played the antagonist in a way. I'm the one who asked the questions like an atheist or agnostic would ask.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a brilliant guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know who he is, John Lennox?
Yeah. I follow him. There's a lot of people would be surprised by how many super devout religious folks are in positions of power when it comes to math and science. He's one of them. Francis Collins, the guy that ran the Human Genome Project, mm-hmm. is one of them. I mean, it's not like people have this idea that science and religion are diametrically opposed. And I guess in some ways, religion makes empirical claims about the universe that cannot be proven one way or another, which is, you know, problematic for scientists. But they're not mutually exclusive all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't work. That's not how life works. I don't know why people get so bent. I love those conversations between like Hitchens and Sam Harris and Dawkins and who's the other one?
Singer's the other
Singer,
one.
Yeah, Dan Dennett. And then all the...
You know, I hope people check it out. They can go right now and order it. They can streaming or the DVD. It's called AgainstTheTide.movie. It gives you all information right there. And it's pretty fascinating. We did a Fathom event, but right in the middle of COVID, you know, it's really hard to get anybody to go to movie theaters over the last 12 months. But,
right.
We'll see what happens with it. It's a very good documentary. They did a great job with it. I'm on camera. I narrate as well, but the team behind, the production team behind it, did a fantastic job. And I got to throw out that I have the number one documentary right now on Amazon. And I may have talked about this last time, but it's called Before the Wrath. And I narrate this one as well, beforetherath.com. It's a very educational look at the book Revelation. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to just... If you like, I like documentaries, and I'll watch a lot of different documentaries on different genres and different subjects. If find them fascinating. So,
do you talk at all in that one about how John was on an island, and that island was known for having psychedelic mushrooms?
Oh my gosh! You read the book Revelation. You're what's going on? Yeah. That doesn't come up in it, but I mean, I'm not. It's pretty amazing. I remember as a kid reading that, I thought it was like the scariest book I've ever read in my life. But I think people find it interesting. I think they can form their own opinion about it. But that's why I like documentaries. I think what you just said. I like both sides of the issue. Mm-hmm. I love the debates without people getting all mad and angry and wanting to kill you over.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great conversations because I mean, my first tenure in college was for a degree in comparative religion. I've always found it fascinating because there's no better way to study human beings than to study this process of how we've tried to figure out what our place and purpose in the world is, right? That's the best thing you can ever read. Religious books are the best thing in the history around it, are the best things you could ever read to understand how human beings think.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, and we just had Brian Keating on yesterday, who lost the Nobel Prize, and he was talking about that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he's constant quest to find.
He's a devout Jewish man. So, but he was atheist earlier in his life. I think he was raised Catholic because of his stepfather or something like that. Yeah. And then, you know, became atheist for a while and then kind of got back into Judaism, which, you know, that's cultural almost more than it is a belief system at that point. But still, you know, people like the idea of the general principle that we look at from the Bible that we see everywhere else is the golden rule. But there's other principles from the Bible that we see everywhere else in every other religion, and not just in religion, in society at large, which is it is important to understand that there's something above you. It's why Jews wear yarmulkes, right? Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that God's always over you, right? And while I don't agree with that, I do like the idea that there's got to be something more important than me, than the self. The Curse of the Self is a great book, by the way, if you want to read that. Sometimes it talks about how once we discovered that we were autonomous, like human beings, like what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Like imagine you're a computer and all of a sudden you become self-aware. You understand that you're a computer. What would go through your mind at that point?
It would explode and melt to the ground.
Yeah.
And you were one of the guys who was on the forefront of these faith-based movies. You know, shit, I remember hanging out with you in 2011 in Cannes, and you were doing Soul Surfer. You guys were doing press for Soul Surfer out there.
I was there with Bethany Hamilton. That's right.
Yeah. You introduced me to her, and unbelievable story. Still one of the biggest movies there was, and you know, as far as faith-based movies, and it was incredible. But you were one of the first guys to say, "Hey, man, I want to tell these stories and get these stories made in Hollywood." What made you want to do that? Because you've been unbelievably successful, especially in that genre. And people, you know, some people still think Hercules and Andromeda, but it's like, man, you've had an amazing career of a wide array of projects.
Well, I mean, look, I think Pool Boy, obviously.
Pool Boy, FDR American Badass, all that stuff. Like, you're not afraid to do anything. What made you?
I got Julia X. I played a serial killer. So yeah, I mixed it up a little bit. But, you know, it started with What If. What If was a movie that Dallas Jenkins gave me. Dallas, a good friend of mine, he's the son of Jerry Jenkins, who did Left Behind books. And he gave me a script to read. He said, it wasn't like, do you want a role? He said, what do you think of the script? I read and I said, this is awesome. Who's playing Pastor Ben? He started listening to other guys. And I said, no, I'm playing. And he goes, dude, I can't afford you. This is such a low budget movie. He said, I don't care. I want to do this. Well, that script was written by the same guys who 4 years later, I did a movie with called God's Not Dead.
Yeah.
And God's Not Dead is the most successful dollar for dollar return on any. I mean, as well as The Passion did well. This is a $2 million budget that made $140 million. That's a 70 times return.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of kicked it off for me. It didn't necessarily have to be faith-based movies. I just wanted to do more movies that had more of a family-friendly feel to them. Movies that make you think, make you laugh, make you cry, talk, whatever it may be, relate to the character on the screen. I just got tired of, there's so much anger and hate coming out of Hollywood. Every movie's really violent. And I'm not a wuss about that kind of stuff. But I said, you know, I don't want my 8-year-old kid seeing this stuff. And even the networks with their regular TV hours now. So that sort of was the road for me that I wanted to do. I have the Sorbo Family Film Studios. We started a couple of years ago. And I do want to throw out that I am doing the next Left Behind movie. We just got funded for that. We're probably filming it either in Georgia or Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I just met with Dan Cathy. We golfed together a couple of times now, the Chick-fil-A CEO. So I'm bugging him for future projects, you know, because he's worth a few dollars as well.
Yeah, so. He's got a couple shekels on him.
You know.
Yeah, but I remember, like, What If, memory serves me correct, I think it was $7.8 million in the box office, which, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere to Hollywood, at least, and they were shocked. Yeah. And I remember reading all the articles in, like, Variety and Hollywood Reporter and everything, and they were like, what? Yeah. What are these movies? How can they possibly be doing well? God's Not Dead, which you mentioned earlier, man, I believe it's on, what, sequel 3 or 4 at this point?
They did 2 and 3.
Two and three, yeah.
And they've done, you know, I've done a few other things with Netflix. They actually sold their streaming service to Sony Affirmed, Rich Peluso's company now. So they're handling the streaming part of their PureFlix streaming. But, you know, I've got a number, like I said, really good. I got a couple great Westerns. The trouble with Westerns, they don't play overseas anymore. They play well in Canada. They play well in Australia. But other than that, Hollywood doesn't really want to touch them. I know they got a big one out now with Tom Hanks, News of the World or something like that.
Yep.
And I just saw the movie. I get sent all the screeners because I'm on the voting board with the Oscars. Pretty darn good movie. Pretty interesting because I love Westerns.
I mean, the last great Western, I guess, was probably The Hateful Eight, right? And it was Tarantino, which is weird to say that. But yeah. I remember the. I guess that
I loved it, but it box office wise, like, yeah, Kevin was talking.
Sucked.
Yeah, Kevin was talking about it. It didn't do well. It didn't do well overseas.
That miniseries, Godless. Did you watch that with Jeff Bridges?
Yes,
amazing. Nobody watched that shit. I guess Yellowstone. Everybody's watching. That's not really a Western though. It's just set in the West.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It feels like a Western.
But I guess I was gonna ask because I'm trying to think of the Westerns historically. It may have done well overseas. Like that stupid one with Daniel Craig where he's a space cowboy or some bullshit like that. Cowboys versus Aliens, maybe something like that.
I gotta let you know, that was my writers from Hercules that did that
one. I mean, it was that movie is exactly what they would love in the Chinese box office. They'd love shit like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
So True Grit was one when I was, when I was there where.
I can't with that.
The original
True Grit is good.
I agree. But I remember when they were putting that together, they were like, literally, they were like, the only way to get people to watch a Western overseas was to stack that full of like huge A-list stars. Even then, it did pretty well. Like it broke 100 here domestically. But I'm not sure that it made the money back overseas that they were hoping for. Because I'm with you. I love Westerns.
I got a Western I did called Avenging Angel. I did with Hallmark. And it was the highest rated Western they've ever done. They don't make Westerns anymore, but they did at least one a year for like 20 years. And it did so well for them, they actually put it out on DVD. So if you want to see, I think it's a pretty good Western called Avenging Angel. I play a pastor turned bounty hunter after my wife and child are killed by some bad guys.
That's awesome. That's
a good premise.
I've tried to make a couple, and we always get met with budget resistance.
Any kind of period stuff. The horses is so expensive.
The period horses, stuff, yeah. And then the horses, because then you got to get the trainers, and you got to get the horses out there and everything. And it's that budget goes up real quick on a Western. Yeah. but I'd love to see you on Yellowstone. I think you'd be rad on that show.
I got a hold of him about a year and a half ago. I said, dude. Because I didn't have a place up there in Deer Valley, and they shoot in Park City, Utah. I said, come on. You want to put me in a hotel. I could stay at my condo up there.
just start showing up in costume.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're Kevin Sorbo. People are going to be like, oh, shit, is Kevin Sorbo on this?
Yeah.
And they'll just hand you a script probably, right?
They'd be amped about it, I think.
Fans out there, but, you know, I know I've turned a few away just by being posting things like The Truth. People don't like The Truth anymore on Twitter or Facebook. They're doing a very good job of taking about 10,000 away from me every week right now, both of those data sites.
Yeah, I saw you on Twitter. You were trending 2 days ago. I don't know if you saw that. When I saw your name, number 4, I was like, oh, shit, and trending topics. And actually, it was a hilarious tweet about Hunter Biden that went crazy viral.
Wait, which one was it?
It was the crack lap. Laptop, but, and then you were, it was hilarious. And you were like, oh, yeah, it's the thing.
It's the thing.
And you go, yeah, it's the thing. It was a really funny tweet, kind of, just an innocent joke.
But people, people get all self-righteous and they get all crazy. But, 95% of the people love what I do. I get stopped through airports and hotel lobbies. And people say, hey, we know that the left is attacking you, but we're still on your side. And I just look at this whole thing with about getting, cancel culture. I go, guys, what's the big deal? I'm so much vile stuff that says that comes back to me, and all I say is I make a joke, and there's truth to the joke, but you can't even do that in today's world. I mean, I look at these people that go after anybody right now because they've led such perfect lives, haven't they?
Right.
They've done anything wrong or anything in their entire lives that they're embarrassed about. So they need to write a book so you and I can all learn how to be as perfect as they are.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think maybe there's some sayings about that, like glass houses and shit.
Yeah.
Man, it's the left is going to pay for this at some point, and not in the way that you're going to think. I mean, they'll just, it'll become so intersectional that they just start canceling each other. You know what I mean? It's so stupid.
It's like already started.
Yeah, it is. It is already starting. Yeah. I mean,
they're the gift that keeps giving. A lot of stuff they do and say that they blame the right on of stuff they're already guilty on. They're very smart with their deflection. They're very smart with that. But people are catching on to it and getting tired of it.
Yeah, Freud called that self-projection through accusation. That was a phrase he used. Yeah. You know, if you're on the left or you're on the right and somebody from your side is trying to cancel somebody else out for a mistake they made or something maybe they said or a belief that they had, you know, you have to give people the opportunity to change, first of all. And secondly, if you allow your side to keep canceling people like that, then you're the quicksand.
Yeah.
You're the quicksand that we're all falling into. If you understand what's happening, you're not doing something and speaking out about it, you're a fucking asshole. You got to stop that shit. You have to police your own house up first. Don't look to the other side and try to blame people. Look at your side and fix what's wrong first. Mm-hmm. Do that first. Then we can do this all this other stuff.
Yeah, well, you
can cue Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, except for
that's where it starts. A lot of these people, I swear to God, if I'm gonna do a psychological profile on them, these are people that are filled with so much hate and anger towards themselves, and misery loves company. They want to drag everybody right down with them because they don't like who they are. They don't like their jobs if they have one. They don't like their relationship if they have one. These are miserable little trolls that probably still live in the basement of their mom and dad, and they're 42 years old, but they have nothing but anger in their lives. It's really quite sad.
Yeah, and that dumb that dressed like a Viking at the Capitol is basically, he's the neckbeard that we all think about when we think about some loser living in your mom's basement.
Yeah, right? But they're going to parade that guy around.
He's
forever.
The left is going to try to make him the quintessential Republican.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's just Republicans are all wearing hats, man. Look at him. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm not a Republican, but I'm like just sitting in my house, dude. Fuck you. I had bacon and eggs for breakfast this morning.
Exactly.
And I haven't seen my mom in like 10 years.
Yeah, shame on you. No, Dan, not a sweet childhood, I think, right? Yeah, no. I want to ask you about Trump, because you're involved in social media a lot here. He got taken down off of, you know, obviously every platform there is. There was a report this morning that Parler had offered Trump 40% of the company if he would just go there and speak exclusively. That could be his new form of Twitter. Do you think there is going to be an app or an avenue for him in the future?
Well, I'll tell you what I like right now, and I've moved over to do more, is kind of Clout Hub. You guys heard of Clout Hub?
No.
Check it out. Clout Hub. Clout Hub. They just gained, I think, another 2 million followers this past weekend as well, and they're growing really fast, and I'm in there with them. I like what they got going on. I like what they're doing. If you just go and check it out and see, you know, read about what they're doing in that app, it's pretty smart, and they're not going to be as crazy as what they're doing at Twitter and Facebook and trying to, you know, censor opposing views. You know, you only have to have one view. You know, it's interesting. We used to have freedom of speech, but freedom of speech and tolerance is all a one-way street now.
Yeah.
And you guys mentioned earlier, I mean, we are now all guilty until proven innocent, which used to be the other way around. You don't get a second chance. And look what they did to Kavanaugh. Mm. Like, oh, man, 40 years ago, you hit on a girl in college. Well, who didn't hit on a girl in college?
Yeah. I
mean, you can make up what you want on that and say, call it rape. There's no proof of that. But I mean, you know, it's just sad to see what's going on in our country without what you mentioned earlier. And glass houses is definitely what it is. And the Bible verse is look at the log in your own eye instead of the speck in your
brain. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is basically sociological confirmation bias. We need these people that are opposed to us politically to be evil. So we go looking for evidence to find it. If I wanted to prove that, let's just say we were having a scientific debate about something, like I want to prove what kind of wood this is. I just go look for different types of, according to the internet, this wood grain is probably is this. We're just going to say it's this, right? That's not how that works. You look at the wood grain, then you go look You collect the evidence, then you process the evidence and find out what's true. That's how that process is supposed to work,
yeah.
Right? So what we're doing now is sociological confirmation bias. The left has to be bad. This Democrat that voted for Biden or Obama or whom, Hillary Clinton or whomever it is, I don't like that they did that, so they have to be a bad person. Now, let me go find reasons why they're bad. These people that voted for Trump, they must be crazy because he says crazy shit. They must. It isn't about any of his politics. It is very nuanced to say, you know what, they probably don't like him as a person either because he's kind of a dick, but they like the policies, and that's what they're voting for, is a policy right. person and not a personality, right?
Yeah.
It's really easy to arrive at a normal human being conclusion right there, but we persist in not doing that for some reason, and I don't understand why.
I don't either. Have you played golf with Trump down in Florida?
I played with him, about 16 years ago at the Lake Tahoe Golf Tournament. That's when he was doing his first season on the Apprentice show.
Yep.
And it was an interesting 3 days with him, because I played with him and Jesse Ventura. So it was fun conversation.
Wow.
Really?
Does he have an ego? Yeah. But, you know, Obama had an ego. I got a little bit of an ego. I mean, you have to have some kind of ego about yourself to have some kind of positive things happen in your life.
Right.
And I agree with what you just said, too. What a lot of people didn't like Trump just because they didn't like his personality. And I get it. But as for what he did for the policies, he did some pretty good stuff. And he was actually doing stuff he said he was going to do. So, you know, but we can't separate those things anymore from people. They just got to go after the one thing. It's like a personality contest now. But no, I haven't seen him since last time. I haven't seen him in person since 2004. Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I was listening to one of Douglas Murray's books the other day, and he was talking about intersectionality and how we're basically in a runaway greenhouse effect almost of intersectionality, where we've decided as a culture that we're going to break every individual down into every characteristic they have, mm-hmm. and then through time and arguments and complaints and accusations, we're going to arrive at some kind of hierarchy about who should be the most offended by what, like who's been most aggrieved longest, they're up here, and then so on and so forth. And that is how life is now, right? Yep. So instead of sharing culture with each other and growing together and becoming more alike and thinking more alike, we're going to highlight, and not only highlight, but live only about our differences. That is the dumbest shit that you could ever do. That's like going to marriage counseling and just say, all right, you guys just complain about each other for an hour and go home.
Right.
And do that for 20 years and it'll work. You know what I mean? It's fucking stupid, man. It doesn't make any sense. And when you say these things out loud, when you describe what's happening, people are like, oh, that's really stupid. I'm like, yeah, and you're doing it right now, you stupid fuck.
Yeah.
Like, just stop. Jesus Christ, man. I'm losing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm losing it today. I'm going to fucking flip this table over.
You know, you get to the point where these masks, all these different rules and regulations on masks, it just
blows
my mind. Watching the football game last night, and the players don't got masks on, and the officials who are 20 yards away wearing a mask. You're going, what? I get on an airplane, I got to wear a mask, even though there's a person a foot and a half in front of me, next to me, here, there's a dozen people less than 6 feet away. But when we get off the airplane, please, only one row at a time and keep 6 feet of separation. Mm. It's so ridiculous.
It is so stupid. Yeah, it's like, I'll tell you, people, the one thing that every most people share is that they will not tolerate inauthenticity, right? They can't, as much as you try to hide it, they'll sniff it out at some point, and it, like Kamala Harris, right?
Yeah.
Everybody hates her. No one likes her. All of my friends on the left are like, this woman is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, she is. they could smell it, right? They could smell the inauthenticity, and they know that it's bullshit. So when we see leaders tell, like, I think, it's not that I think, I know for a fact that the mask will stop water from going out of your face and spreading a virus to somebody else. That's how the fuck it works.
Right.
Absolutely. Anything you put on in front of your face is going to help with that issue. Come on, man.
Mask is now trending today on Twitter.
Yeah. And then seeing people not wear them when they're supposed to, the people that are telling us to wear them, seeing them going out to these restaurants and doing all this stuff. Like, if you're not taking it seriously, nobody else is either. Don't blame it on Trump, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Like, these motherfuckers want to blame Trump because he didn't take masks seriously. And that there, a lot of people say that's why he lost the election, because he, older white Republican voters were like, fuck this guy, he's not taking it seriously, and my friends are dying. right? And that's a reasonable thing for them to say and vote their conscience on, for sure. Mm-hmm. But nobody was taking it seriously, right? Like the leadership of your party, Kamala Harris, the governor of the biggest state in the country, and Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. None of them took it seriously, and we're expected to, right?
Right.
I mean, come on, man. People, that inauthentic bullshit, no one will buy it. And that's why there's this trope that conservatives, they don't believe in masks, man. They're anti-science. No, they believe in what they see, right? When they see somebody, when they hear somebody tell them something, and then they see them doing the opposite, they believe what they see. The end, right?
Yeah.
So get fucked.
It's crazy. And to me, you know what it reminds me of is when there used to be smoking inside restaurants. And there was a smoking section and a non-smoking section. It was like, man, there's still smoke all throughout the restaurant.
There used to be smoking sections on planes, dude. You can only smoke in the back of the plane. It's a tube, bitch.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's what it feels like to me. So when I go into these places, because, you know, and they're bitching, you know, today, obviously, about the Super Bowl of everybody partying last night in Tampa Bay and all that other stuff. And it's like, you're not going to stop it. And then you also didn't bitch about it over the summer when, you know, cities were burning down and nobody was wearing a mask protesting.
Yeah. So it's amazing. COVID only if you're riding, it doesn't hang out that way. You know, look, when you got to walk in a restaurant, you got a mask on. You sit down, you can take it off. And I go, what, does it only hang up here? It's not at seated level?
Yeah.
So I don't, this, it's the, what you just said, the inconsistency of it. That they just watching people say one thing and then they actually do another. It's that thing. Do as I say, but not as I do. And that's what they're doing right now. Government loves using this as a weapon. Fear is an amazing weapon. And every level of government is using it right now to control our lives. And the people are getting fed up with it.
Mm. Yeah. Where are you at on the vaccination? Are you going to get it when it is offered to you? Or are you going to wait a while?
I'm going to wait a while. Look, I haven't had a flu shot. Look, all of a sudden, nobody's dying from the flu. We have had a flu vaccine for 79 years. And on average, 50,000 people a year still die from the flu. We didn't wear masks since 1930. So now all of a sudden, we all go wear masks, but get these flu shots. I mean, get these other shots, and then nobody gets the flu anymore because COVID, I mean, the numbers are skewed. I know it's horrible. I don't dismiss the fact that this thing is very contagious. But I don't know. I mean, the FDA, as far as I've seen, hasn't approved this drug yet. And so I guess I'll do it when I absolutely have to do it. But right now, I'm going to wait and see more.
Yeah, same. Because, you know, we have 80% of our listeners are military and first responders. So obviously they hit us up all the time, paramedics and all that stuff. Sure. And they're the first ones getting it right now. And all of them are like, man, the data just isn't there yet for us to take this.
But military and first responders have been used for guinea pigs for stuff frequently. Like, I mean, the black community in a way worse way back in the day. But I mean, even recently, the swine flu vaccine, before anybody got it, they were trying to give it to us. And I'm like, no, not doing that. They're like, yeah, you got to. I'm like, no, I don't. And they're like, yeah, you do. I'm like, no, I don't. And I just walked out. That was the end of it. They didn't say, I don't know if they just didn't want to deal with my bullshit or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was the end of it. I never heard about it again.
Do you think they'll make it mandatory, Kevin?
Sure they will. You'll have to do it to fly. You'll have to do it to go get groceries. You'll have to do it to walk out of your house. I don't know. I don't like it. I mean, from what I've read about, Fauci owns like 50% of this, the money that's going to come in from this. He's the guy pushing this thing. Bill Gates now just bought 250,000 acres of farmland. Why? You know, so it's just weird to me. There's so many weird things going on right now. People better start waking up to the reality of how much they want to control over our lives right now.
Yeah, we discussed that farmland thing a few weeks ago here on the show. I don't know why. I can't figure out why.
Yeah,
well, he said, here's what he said. I'll give you his statement. He said, I'm just trying to diversify more my portfolio and own more property and land and things like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what China's doing by buying up real estate all over America too, right? Get fucked, Bill.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. That's again.
What do you think he's doing with it?
He wants to control the ability to feed people. Because that's a commodity that will never, ever go away. That's what he wants.
No shit. Yes. I couldn't figure it out with those guys.
We've been talking about overpopulation for years now. Oh. How we got to control the population. How we got to weed it down, you know. So it's, I don't know. We're 1984, welcome, you know. We're living it right now.
Yeah, speaking of which, that book is now a bestseller once again. because of everything that's going on.
I'm going to write a book called Fuck Bill Gates. And we can talk about how he's fucked over our public school systems a bunch of times. Right?
Oh, Common Core, yeah.
Yeah, and we can talk about how after he was found guilty, his company found guilty of antitrust, they tried to they wanted to donate a bunch of good. They said, they just tried to do a thing where they donated a bunch of computers, right, to public high schools and shit all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then it came to light that he was just trying to get the government addicted to Microsoft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of course Bill Gates wants to make money. He's a businessman. Making money is what he does. He sees, you can't think of him as some kind of supervillain. He sees an opportunity to get his product, whatever that happens to be, in the most hands of consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his product is whatever the hell he wants it to be at this point, because he's a billionaire. So if he wants to go buy land and farm and sell food, you know, I mean, that's a reasonable thing to do, I guess. It's not intrinsically evil for him to do that. I mean, we'll see how he does it. Based on the way he's done things in the past, I would be very suspicious of this man's intentions, right?
Yeah.
Because
hey, guys, I hate to cut it short. I got another interview coming up here in about less than 10 minutes. So I got to roll here and get ready for that one.
No, for sure. Hey, and we appreciate your time today, Kevin.
I love talking to you guys. Hey, kevinsorbo.net's a good place to go.
Yep.
Now, sorbofamilyfilmstudios.com. Sign up. Three new movies coming out this year. They're in the can. They're done.
Sweet.
Fantastic. And we're looking forward to Reagan. I know you were talking about that last time.
I'll be shooting mine in probably in March or April, my role in it. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Kevin, thanks for stopping by, buddy. It's always a fucking pleasure, man. We love you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
Again, man, Kevin, thanks for being here, brother. We appreciate it. As always, kids, we got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbet.com/drinkingbros. 40% off the old bundle package. The old bundle package. That is including the adjustable base. So you got to get the adjustable base with that. Which, look, if you were watching the Super Bowl show last night, Jesus Christ, how much weight was on that fucking thing, Dan? Clay weighs what, 300 pounds? 400 pounds.
He's 6'9" and a half. He wears a size 19 shoe and he's 400 pounds. He's a monster of a human being.
He was on it with three other dudes last night?
Were there three? Three other dudes, yeah.
Yeah.
So there were three other dudes. I would say they all probably weighed about 180 maybe.
Yeah.
Or more. So let's just be conservative and say 180.
Yeah.
That's 360 plus 180.
You're looking at close to
540. That's that's
around 800 pounds.
No, that's around 940 pounds.
There you go. There you go.
I'm not sure what the fucking weight is. I just know. Look, guys, if you go out on the town tonight and you found yourself a couple of 250, you know, ladies,
yeah,
because it's going to be a lot easier to get them back home than it is, you know, smaller women.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, the bed can take it.
Yes, it definitely took it last night. And it can take you to the places you need to go to. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Use the promo code drinkingbros at checkout for that deal. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. That is applicable with that deal. Next up, we got harrys.com/drinkingbros. Harry's is back, baby.
I don't think there's actually a dude named Harry they named us after. I just think they're making a joke.
You think so?
I hope so.
But it is.
Because I like jokes like that.
It is harrys.
I know.
.com.
And it is.
/drinkingbros.
It's possessive, so that means it probably is referring to somebody, but I hope it's not.
Yeah. I wonder who Harry is.
We'll find out.
Maybe
it's Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
That'd be fucking great.
Can you imagine if Sasquatch owned a company like that?
Yes, it could.
Or is that what he's called? A Bigfoot? I don't know what they call it.
Sasquatch.
Is there a politically correct term for Bigfoot now?
Squatch.
It's probably not that. Yeah, no,
it's probably
doubt
Squatch.
No, Sam Squanch is what Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys call him. So.
harrys.com, dude. It's the Razors, man. Yeah. We had them on last year. Huge fan. And I want to say, I think they like sold out of their shit and they were like, hey, man, I don't know if we can do this anymore. If you don't remember from last year, this was the company that was giving away a bag of fucking, you got a razor, shaving cream, and body wash for $3.
Yeah.
That's it. And they just sent it to you and they were like, hey, man, if you like the company after this, congratulations. There is no better deal than that. And I was like, did they bounce because everybody was buying that and it was just $3?
Yeah.
I'm not sure either way. It's great for a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Only $2 a fucking refill there. And the quality on this shit's amazing, man. I'm pretty sure these bags went so fast. They were like, hey, man, we can't do this anymore. It is veteran owned.
Well, no, it's they're back with this.
Yeah. Now, is it the $3?
Yeah. So new customers can get Harry's starter set free and free body wash for $3 at harrys.com/drinkingbros. That's ridiculous.
Oh, so they're fucking doing it again, dude. Yeah,
that
shit
is a ridiculous deal. I mean, that
it
means,
does say for a limited time, though, now.
Well, that's, like, yeah. Now they're going to, as soon as it reaches a critical mass, they'll have to pull it, which makes sense. But they definitely believe in their product if they're doing that.
Yeah.
Especially doing it again. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
I don't know if they're veteran-owned. I said that because of Harry, this fictional person we've created.
And oh, yeah.
I think Harry would have been a military badass of something.
Well, now
I
mean, you can think
we
of
to create
Harry,
a backstory for Harry.
Harry and the Hendersons. I mean, John Lithgow's probably involved
yeah,
at some point.
Yeah.
Look, Harry was probably in Vietnam.
Has to be, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Let's reshoot Rambo, but Harry's with him the whole time. They're just like two old Vietnam buddies getting harassed by Brian Dennehy.
Oh, that'd be great. For a limited time, Harry's has this exclusive offer for the listeners of our show. New customers can get a Harry's starter kit and free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/drinkingbros. That is a monster value for $3. You'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, a travel cover, and a travel size body wash. They sold out of this shit last time. I know that, but it's an incredible deal. Act fast. While supplies last. I like how they put that in there. Everybody was buying this shit last time.
The creators are two dudes, yeah. Jeff and Andy. So it's, I don't know what Harry's is.
Harry's a Vietnam vet. Dude.
I think
Kill
Harry
people.
Is a, he's a, he is a woodland creature from the Pacific Northwest who served his country honorably in Vietnam and came back and was harassed unnecessarily by local fucking police.
Go to harrys.com/drinkingbros today to redeem your offer. Last but not least here, D'Anthony, I want to talk about Candid CO, dude. That is candidco.com/drinkingbros, dude. candidco.com/drinkingbros. This we did this advertisement yesterday, and everybody's like, hey man, is that real? You guys are giving promo codes away for this? I was like,
yeah.
Yes, it is, dude. It's the invisible braces. So you see these fucking things everywhere you go, dude. Everybody's wearing the invisible braces. I had braces for 8 fucking years. Where were you then? Candid Co. Jesus Christ. It was miserable going to the orthodontist every fucking week, and then we'd tighten them, and I'd get the fucking rubber bands and shit. It was awful, dude. Mm. Save yourself. If you're unhappy with your smile, go to candidco.com/drinkingbros today. You get $75 off those invisible braces, dude. It's the best. So you just go online, talk to an orthodontist, not a dentist, an orthodontist. Orthodontists are the ones who do the fucking braces. I know because I fucking lived with mine forever. I wanted to date the assistant for years. She was older. I thought I had a shot. I was just some fucking weird kid with braces in fourth grade. But I don't know what the orthodontist is going to look like online or if you get to see them on Candid Co. Go to candidco.com/drinkingbros today. Use the promo code drinkingbros when you check out for $75 off your first starter kit. Dude, with these things, you're going to see noticeable improvements in 6 months. And it costs thousands of dollars less than traditional braces. Go to fucking candidco.com/drinkingbros. Use the promo code drinkingbros for $75 off. And this is another one that's you got to take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 off the starter kits. candidco.com/drinkingbros. Promo code drinkingbros to check out because this is another product that fucking sells out fast, man. These guys typically don't offer promo codes, but they do now, Dan. Dan, one thing I wanted to chat with you about is the Pitbull comments. We had talked about it last night during the Super Bowl party, which, look, we were rocked for that. But people haven't really said that much about it today. His comments on that podcast of whether or not the COVID was created by somebody a couple years ago. Do you know more about that story, by the way?
No, not about that specifically, but I did hear everything he had to say. It's kind of weird.
Right? The weird thing is like Pitbull sounds relatively educated, which I also didn't know either.
No, he doesn't look like a guy that would be educated. He looks like a guy that would have chest hair and a gold chain and be hitting on your girlfriend right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? He looks like that kind of guy. But, you know, his grandmother actually fought in the Cuban Revolutionary War and fought against Castro and all his bullshit. I mean, and if somebody that grew up with someone like that is saying, hey, this looks a lot like what we were going through before. Maybe we should slow down and take a look. Maybe we should slow down and take a look. That seems like a pretty reasonable thing to happen. If somebody that's, you know, been in an accident before feels that coming on again, that is your instinct, mm-hmm. right? That's what keeps us alive as human beings, is our instinct and knowing warning signs when we see them. That's why we're afraid of spiders and snakes, because so many of them are venomous. You know what I mean? It makes sense. So I listen when he says stuff like that. Some of the other stuff he said is pretty goddamn crazy. But you know,
is it? Yeah. And where's he getting this info?
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
It's one of those things where I was like, huh? This is the guy?
He also recently bought a NASCAR team.
Did he really?
Yeah, Trackhouse Racing. I don't know whose cars those are, but that's pretty fucking funny.
Hi, Bob, how much is Pitbull worth?
$100 million.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Should I end my life on the air right now then? Or
let's just go rob Pitbull. Is it that? Maybe Pitbull wants to buy our company.
Yeah, $100 million. My God, man. What are we doing? We're doing it all wrong here. You think Pitbull should have more money than $100,000?
He might. I can't hear you, by the way.
That's fine. I can hear you through the thing. But
$100 million feels low. Like, that's what Ronald Cooney Jr. is making over 10 years. Like, that doesn't feel like a lot of money.
Speaking of that, Marcelo Zuna, 4 years, $64 million. That's a huge deal for the Braves. That's very cheap for that man's services for the next 6 or 4 years.
I'm amped about that.
They got him and Acuna and Albies all locked up on long-term deals. Now they just got to sign Freeman. I'm sure that deal came in low because they're going to re-sign Freeman after next year.
Yeah, after this
year, whatever.
Yeah, that, I guess Soroka and Freed are going to get paid pretty good.
Soroka's going to get, he came off an injury season, so his arbitration's not going to look as good as it would have otherwise, but he's going to get paid. I assume they're going to try to sign him to a long-term deal this year sometime. This isn't really a sports show.
But it doesn't matter. We're having fun here today. We got absolutely rocked last night for the Super Bowl. We appreciate everybody joining us on Drinking Bros Sports. We have a new YouTube channel for that. Had over 10,000 plus live viewers last night for that. That was a fun time indeed. Trying to put the pieces back together today. I forgot that I was wearing a box on my head last night.
For a little bit.
I had a nice box on my head, and it was a magical evening. Speaking of which, we had a bunch of people fly in for the show yesterday. And, if you wouldn't mind, Dan, if I could bring on Mr. Bill Schofield, I'd like to give him the Drinking Bro of the Week here. Come on in, Bill.
Just don't touch my beef jerky. It's Anthem.
It's
beef jerky. I'm serious. Don't, if you touch it,
I'll kill
you.
Is that the jam, by the way?
It's really fucking good, yes.
Who makes that?
Anthem.
I've never heard of the company, actually.
It's a small, veteran-owned company.
Is it really?
Out in Wyoming, Sheridan, Wyoming.
Ah, shit.
Near where Bert lives, actually.
Okay.
No sugar in this.
No shit.
No sugar. It's really good.
There we go.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it, Bill. Don't touch it. Pop on, Bill. Pop on the show. We appreciate you flying out, man. Keep that mic maybe an inch from your face. There you go. You were an emergency judge last night in the cooking competition. Where'd you fly in from?
Des Moines, Iowa.
How long you been listening to Drinking Bros?
I actually thought about that on the way down here. I think the first episode I listened to was episode 7. So, really? Yeah.
Old school. Yeah. Dan's off camera saying Iowa doesn't exist. Bring the mic just down a little bit. There you go. He's good? Good. Look at that.
Cool.
We're on it today. Thanks for coming down, man. We greatly appreciate it. You stepped in. You helped predict, but you gave the winner away to the proper person.
Oh, yeah. Jesse was a clear winner in that one.
Yeah.
Eric's crab dip was a bit too crabby. And going with the melted cheddar on top was a bad decision.
Couldn't
even get through it with the chips. So.
It always is.
Yeah.
It always is. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to, Bill?
Honestly, Ross, I think I'm going to give it to you, man. Thanks for having me down. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I've been listening forever. You know, you guys give a ton of entertainment for free to, obviously, a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a highlight of a lot of people's day. So thanks for doing it. Thanks for having me down. You know, thanks for being so welcoming. The studio is great. Had a fun time last night, so it's definitely worth the trip.
What time did you get out of here last night?
I forgot what time we left, but like Tansy and his boys and Brooke over there.
Yep.
And Dan, we all went downtown, and I think I got back to my Airbnb at like 5 a.m.
5 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting night for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It always is, man.
Yeah.
It always is.
Rough morning. I had to.
Yeah, were you expecting all of this shit in here when you came in, by the way?
Is it?
I'm always curious what people think when they roll in, because they're like, oh my God, I'm surprised that it's this professional.
No, I mean, it met my expectations for sure. It's really interesting to see all the sets in one room.
Yeah.
You know, I knew like it was probably set up like this, but mm-hmm. actually coming in and seeing it, it's really interesting how you guys have it set up in here, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we try to do our best.
Yeah.
We try to do our best. And we're grateful for you listening and people coming in. Speaking of which, Brooke, are you out of here today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on in. Come on in, Brooke. We'll let you give a Drinking Bro of the Week, dude. The people love you. Yeah. Come on in, Brookers. Come on in. There hasn't been one time that I haven't seen you in LSU gear, by the way.
Yes, you have. That's not true. I mean.
Yes, yes. You're always swagged
out.
Yeah, it's all you. That's, yeah. I think that's all you own.
I mean, I have a few nice little dresses and summer dresses, but generally it's LSU stuff.
Yeah, never seen them.
Yeah.
Never seen them.
Because I never wear them.
Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to? Drinking Broette. You've been listening forever, and you're always in the message boards. Everybody loves you. You're like a fucking fan favorite on there.
Oh,
but
you've never
said, hey, man, who's the Drinking Bro of the Week? Who would you like to give it to?
Jesse.
Yeah?
Yeah. Gotta give it to Jesse.
Yeah, have to.
Yes, of course.
She puts up with all this bullshit.
She does. God bless her. I don't know how she does it day in and day out.
How crazy was it behind the scenes last night? Were people doing shots and shit? Like, I'm on, because we're on, so I don't really get to see it, like,
right
past what I'm looking at. But yeah. How wild did shit get last night?
I mean, I just remember Clay, and that was just, that's it.
Dude, that guy had like fucking 50 beers last night.
I would say more than that.
It's insane. I counted 12, no lie. Because that's a huge glass he was drinking out of held four beers.
Four, yeah.
And I saw him drink three of them. So, I mean, that was a 12-pack
right
there.
And he already came
in
here fucked up.
Oh, yeah. He was fucking rocked
last night.
How late did Clay stay?
I have no idea.
Man.
I can't remember.
Wild night last night.
Fun stuff.
We appreciate you coming down, though.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had a great time last night.
It's always fun here.
It's always a blast. Yep. What do you think of Austin, Texas?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great, right?
It's my new Orleans.
Yeah.
Because I can't travel to New Orleans.
Can't do shit anymore.
Mm-mm.
Sucks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time, man, you want to go out and do something fun where you're like, shit, like we were talking about going to the Final Four this year. I just want there to be fans. I just want to show up. I just want to drink and go to fucking events again and not wear a goddamn mask.
Right.
Like we were talking about with Kevin Sorbo. Like,
mm-hmm.
when is that going to happen?
Never.
I don't think so either.
Masks forever.
You think so?
I mean,
I hope not.
I really hope not either, but I feel like it will.
I'm to the point where, because you're a diehard college football fan as well, and like
mm-hmm.
I'm to the point where I'm like, man, if you want me to take this stupid fucking vaccination just to go to a goddamn Buckeyes game, like...
Fine, I'll do it.
Yes.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we were talking to Sorba earlier about the vaccinations and all that shit, and I was like, man, the data's not there and all that shit. I'm to the point now where it's like, hey, man, if I could sit in a packed stadium
mm-hmm.
with all my friends and party again,
yeah
fucking you shoot me with whatever.
Whatever.
Fucking anthrax at this point. I don't give a shit.
I
think Dan is going to Joe Rogan and Chappelle tonight.
Oh, nice.
Well, the thing is, they're doing swabs at the door. So...
To sit there for like hours, you have to get there early.
You have to show up 2 hours early, and then they put you in like a trough, right? With like, no lie, when you go in, it's like there's a huge tent, and there's like metal kind of like fencing, like you're a fucking cattle, like
right.
you're a sheep. And then they put you in there with 4 to 8 people. They put the swab up your nose, and then they wait 15 minutes. The nurses go and test it.
Right.
And then they come back, and they're like, hey, group 8, congratulations. You don't have COVID.
You passed the test.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, sweet. Thanks, man.
I already knew that.
Yeah.
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 But earlier, you know, people would kill to go to that show, and Dan's like, man, I don't think I'm fucking doing that. I'll be curious to see if he goes tonight. So yeah, it's Bill's off camera saying, dude, give me the fucking Chappelle and Rogan tickets. Cause they're up to like $350 a pop now. So,
oh my gosh.
And well, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. So we'll see what happens. But, either way, we greatly appreciate you coming out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Bill, man, we greatly appreciate you flying out and to all the other people that flew out, for the live show last night for the Super Bowl. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to start doing more things like this because it's a blast. And then it's cheap, you know, because you're not asking people to buy $10,000 Super Bowl tickets and everybody can come and rage and have a bunch of great food. Shout out to all our sponsors last night. Twisted X Brewery for giving us endless cases of beer. You're drinking. People are still drinking today. I get it, man. I got to get back on this horse as well. This is the only way out of this shit. Who is that pizza place, Bob? They were fantastic. Doughboy. Holy shit. That was the jam last night, man. I hadn't found like a good Austin pizza place. Doughboys was shit.
They're good. The only one that I really like is B313, but yeah, you can choice style pizza. So in terms of like normal pizza,
yeah.
Not a lot of good ones, but Doughboys is legit.
Yeah, Doughboys is legit. So shout out to Doughboys for all the pizzas last night. And again, Twisted X Brewery. They made the McConaughey's. Beer that we were drinking with Matthew McConaughey when he was on the show. That's just a local brewery next to my house. Buddies with the owner, and they're rad. Our dream would be to open up a brewery and then just put the studio inside of there.
You should.
Like glass.
Yeah.
We're working on it now. Fuck, man. Real estate in Austin is crazy expensive.
Well, I just bought a house, so another house.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Where at?
In the neighborhood.
Really?
I needed a 3-car garage. 2 would not suffice.
No, because you've got you've got a golf cart that is all decked out in LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my Suburban, so I needed more room.
Yeah. Where did you move at? Like the other end of the neighborhood?
Nicholas Creek.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now everybody knows my street name. Good job, Brooke.
You're fine.
You're
look,
really killing it today.
The government can find all of us. Everybody always finds all of us. Thank you for being here. Bill, thanks again, buddy. And to everybody watching on Drinking Bros Sports last night, we greatly appreciate it. Yeah, we had 10,000 plus last night. That's watching, awesome. And Giorgio and I were the only ones that picked Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So.
I actually did as well.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Just right off the cuff. Yeah. Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to do a suicide watch on Xander, find out where he is today. I think he had $10,000 on that game.
Ugh.
Did you get a total, Giorgio? It was more? I know. You ever see those guys who were just flipping out at like Super Bowl parties and you're like, oh, you put your mortgage on this? Yeah. It felt like, I thought it was 10, but it could have been more, man. It felt like a lot of money. I had a box on my head last night. Fun times indeed. We appreciate you being here with us. Go to iTunes and rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. It is not the millions of listeners that listen to this thing. It's only the fucking reviews that move us up the charts on iTunes. And we might be working with another app soon, potentially, hopefully, radio. We're supposed to get the answer on that by the end of the week. And doing some exclusive stuff with them, which would be rad. Because you never know where this is going to shift or when they're going to cut you off, like we were talking about Sorbo earlier. We did start a Rumble account on Rumble.com, and we've moved all of our back catalog over there as well. So feel free to subscribe to there as well, because just in case all this shit goes away, we want to have backup plans in place. Thanks for being here with us. For Brooke today. D'Anthony Holloway, who's in the other room getting ready for Chappelle. I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.